Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
And today's April 27th, and we got some exciting news, starting with the only manufacturer that really matters, Porsche.
Yeah, to Porsche people, this is the only brand that matters.
I'm sure to some other people as well, Porsche is the only brand that matters. Maybe to like Volkswagen owners, maybe not. This is the brand new Porsche 911 Sport Classic. I mean, they've done Sport Classics before, and they always look great. So this one is a very limited run, 1,250 of them worldwide. But what they do is they have the turbo engine, not like the regular Carrera turbo, because like they're all turbo now. This is the actual turbo's engine.
Yeah, the big boy 911 turbo. So the one, it's called the turbo. Yeah.
Actual turbo, but it is detuned a little bit. 543 horsepower, 442 pound-feet of torque. But the important thing here to note is, unlike the turbo, which is the PDK and all-wheel drive, this is a seven-speed manual, rear-wheel drive only. It still has a wide body, it still has a double bubble roof, and it has a ducktail on the back. This is a very, very good looking machine.
Yeah, it's very special because it's not about setting lap times, right? So that's why it's got the detuned engine. It's got the 7-speed manual, which we know is not going to be as fast. It's you buy this because you like the look and the feel. Because the interior, once you see it, it will drop some jaws because it's got this cognac leather and just brown black accents, houndstooth. It's super classy. The gold badging doesn't look tacky. It's not like a 90s Lexus. It is and it isn't, right? Like it looks like it belongs. The two-tone interior is awesome. You got they don't call it houndstooth. They call it they have a different word for it, but it's on the door and on the seats. So yeah, really special model. And I think the roof is super cool because you don't really get that bubble roof on other models in the production run. So this is all kind of heritage stuff, which all comes at a price because the starting price for this is 272,000 euros. So this is going to be the price of two turbos, I think, when it gets here. So yeah.
Is it worth it? That's the thing. I mean, for the right person, it is. For the collector, it is. But I just don't think we're going to see that many of these like rolling around or anything like that.
Yeah, because you're not physically getting that much more car for the money.
You're
Because
really
like,
not.
so a 911 turbo, just to put into perspective, the base turbo starts at 160k euros, and this is 270. So this is over 100k euro more than a turbo, which is a super fast car. Like the turbo, is ridiculously fast, faster than this, in fact. And so you really have to be a fanboy to buy this, or you just treat it as an investment because it is a collector's piece. And that's how so many Porsche enthusiasts, quote unquote enthusiasts, think is you could honestly give them anything, sell them at any price. They just care if the resale will hold, right?
Well, I mean, it will hold. That's the thing, right?
Exactly. It's a
This
limited run. It's got unique differences that you can't just slap onto a 911, right? That's what makes a car worth a lot of money, is that even if you bought these seats, you bought these badges, you bought the duckbill spoiler, you slap it onto a base Carrera, it won't have that double bubble roof, it won't have the wide body. So there's more to it to this that ultimately it is going to be a collectible piece, and Porsche guys love that stuff.
Did they ever have a sport classic for the 991 generation? No, right? I think the 997 was the last one that they did. Because the 991, they had this speedster. I did a quick Google search and I couldn't find a 991 Sport Classic, but there was a 997. And I remember the 997 Sport Classic because it was in a game. It was in Forza when they returned to games after that Need for Speed thing. I think the 997 Sport Classic was one of the first cars
that you can get back. I remember that because you bought the game for the $60 or $70, and that Porsche pack, I think it was like $30. And
yeah,
back then we were all pretty broke, and like this is like 10 years ago, and I'm like, am I really gonna do it? And I did it. I'm like, I needed
that Porsche pack, and I remember buying that Sport Classic 997 because I love the way that it looked.
You know what I hate about Porsche, especially like as a shop, center lock wheels. I hate center lock wheels. Like, it makes no sense. It is such a hassle. And anyone who wants to get their tire changed, like, we've had customers, because it's not just on a GT3 RS, but even if you have a GTS, it will have center lock wheels. And it just, the cost of swapping your wheels or swapping your tires, it's just doubled because it takes twice as long. It takes almost 500 pounds feet of torque to torque that, and you got to do it three times, or you can buy this like $3,000 tool that can do it in one go. It's the dumbest thing ever because it doesn't save any time if you don't have that tool, and even if you have that tool, but it saves a marginal amount of time.
But Justin, at Cars and Coffee, if you roll up in your Porsche with center locks, you can be like looking at other people that don't have center locks. Just look down at them. Be like,
exactly. I think that is really
the appeal. You got five lugs?
Peasants. Like
five anyone,
lugs? You mean if you break down, BCAA can change your wheel for you?
Like, you don't have to call a specialty shop to do things for you?
Yeah, you don't need to flat tow your car everywhere. And you know what? With the classic wheel, it's got this five-spoke design, heritage to that Fuchs style from the 70s. It would look better with a five-lug, in my opinion. And a five-lug makes sense. It's a classic car. You make it analog with the manual transmission, and you put a race car's lug nut on it. It doesn't make sense. It's so inconvenient, and it ruins the car for me.
Like 99% of Porsche buyers, not Porsche enthusiasts, will disagree to that. But you know what? I do agree. I think the look, it's off. I think I agree to that the most. A center lock wheel, like it looks good on race cars, but on this, just doesn't look quite right to me.
Yeah. I don't think it looks good. It doesn't serve a practical purpose because you don't have a pit crew with a gun ready to, you know, it's not what it's for. This is a street
what
car.
About the Sport Classic was supposed to be practical?
Well, it's supposed to be like that. You enjoy it slowly. It's not all about speed. That was the point of making it.
It's not about speed.
PDK.
You can take twice as long to take those wheels off.
Exactly.
But you know what? I think this is going to be one of those things that we're going to see them bring a trailer in, like, you know, 2, 3, or 10, 20 years for double, triple the price of, you know, what it is right now. That's really what it's going to come down to.
Yep.
Absolutely beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, something that isn't beautiful, in my opinion, the Supra. I mean, you know, it's a Supra, right? Some people love it, some people hate it. I don't know why. I have an auto blog post about it, but here it is. The 2023 Supra gets a manual. We knew it was coming. GR Toyota, whatever they call it, tweeted about it, and they're saying how it's going to be revolutionary because it's a manual transmission. But I don't know.
Well, so Toyota from the get-go was like, every year or every other model year, we're going to have updates for this car. And so 2020 to 21 got a big power bump, got some few chassis upgrades, small stuff here and there. 2023 now, we're getting a pretty thorough update again, which I think is kind of cool. Like, they keep developing this car to make it relevant, keep it relevant, I guess. And you know, everyone's been asking for a manual transmission, and Toyota's done it. And I think,
did Toyota actually do it?
I think that they might have, because okay, the clutch looks exactly the same. The pedals look different, but the clutch pedal, we've taken two out this week at our shop, and I'm like, that is the same plastic clutch pedal out of the M2 and all other BMWs. But I do. Well, we don't know until we've driven it, but I do believe they've probably revised this transmission a little bit compared to BMWs, because BMW makes a very compliant manual transmission. A lot of JDM fanboys will tell you, this transmission sucks. There's nothing will compare to an 86, a Miata, S2000, these kind of cars. BMW makes a terrible manual transmission. BMW makes a great manual transmission. It's super compliant. I don't know anyone who would stall it, because it's like the most idiot proof transmission. It's fairly precise. It's not that fun to drive, though. That is the thing, is, and I think that's why Toyota's kind of waited a while to do this, is because they had to make their little tweaks on BMW's manual transmission to make it meaningful in the Supra. Because having driven the M2 a lot, the dual clutch is a more fun option, I think. I'm not that big into driving manual, you know, on track. It's not that satisfying to me anyways. But I think with the Supra, they wanted to, you know, we'll take the best transmission that we can get and, yeah, just tweak this manual, give it, you know, a nicer shifter feel, more crisp, maybe shorter throws, a few things like that, that, you know, even just the shift knob alone, it looks pretty different from a traditional BMW shifter. So yeah, hopefully it does feel different. It does have auto rev match. And then with the rest of the 2023 lineup, we're going to see some other updates as well. Which I think is cool. Oh yeah, and the manual transmission is only for the 6-cylinder models. 2 liters don't get that option, which we don't even get the 2-liter anymore here in Canada, because the 2-liter made no sense from, you know, it's such an expensive car that's just kind of gutless. Not gutless, but for a $60,000 car, you know, you might as well spend the 10 grand and just get the 6-cylinder. It is popular in Japan, though, oddly enough. So this is kind of, you know, I know a lot of the tuning companies in Japan, they want to play with that 2-liter and make it fast. And a lot of them have. I mean, we've seen some automatic 2-liters come out of Japan that can match or exceed the performance of the 6-cylinders. But they're not giving them the manual transmission. So that's an interesting choice. It means very little to us, because we don't get it
anyways.
Yeah, even if they made it, I wouldn't recommend buying it, because it's still 20k more than a GR86, and if you want an FR manual experience, that's the car to get, because you know what, a manual 86 is making over 200 wheel horsepower already. Mm-hmm. And so the 2-liter Supra doesn't even make that much more power. It weighs a lot more, it's less practical, and it costs 20k more. So I can see why it's not a popular choice. Mm-hmm. Now, they've made some changes to this car that I think people will appreciate, because it seems like Toyota is hearing the feedback. 12-speaker JBL audio system is new, supposedly. The subwoofer still has that ugly-ass grill. It looks like a Walmart subwoofer, two Walmart subwoofers. It's the most disgusting thing, but at least hopefully this one will sound better than the old one, because the outgoing Supra sound system is probably, it's pretty awful. It's weird because it looks like they use the same speakers out of the BMWs, but it just sounds really bad. I think it might have to do with the shape, might have to do with air volume and stuff like that, but the physical components aren't even that bad. It's like when it's in an M2, it sounds a lot better. It is in the M3, it sounds a lot better. I can't tell you why the Supra sounds really bad with the sound system. Retuned dampers, retuned power steering, retuned traction control. And I think I saw something about stabilizer bushings being different as well, which all this is minute differences. To some people, it may not make any difference at all, but for those that care, it makes kind of a meaningful difference. I like these kind of little updates.
Yeah, I mean, any improvement is always good, right? It just means that they care about the vehicle. I mean, the weight reduction of 1.2 kilos per wheel to improve ride, handling, stability. I mean, it's little things, right?
Yeah.
What I do like is, or sorry, what I think about this is, you know, for people that have like a 2022 model, so they look at this and they're like, damn, that 2023 is pretty good. It's kind of like when the 2022 came out and the 2021 buyers were like, damn, could have much more power. Yeah, right? Exactly. Like every year, Toyota's like, you know what?
We're going to give it, you give you a reason to buy the new one.
Yeah.
And I do know customers that have sold their old one to get the new one. Like, it's such a minute difference, but no, the wheels are kind of unique. So the RZ, which is the 3 liter here, is going to get this new wheel, 19 inch design that is very in line with the GR Yaris and the GR86, this in terms of style, because the outgoing two-tone wheel that they gave on the 2020 to 2022 Supras looked kind of odd to me, the black and silver. This one is very much what we saw in the GR86. It's just the Toyota version of it.
I do like the cutouts behind the spokes.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool looking wheel.
It makes it look more Toyota. The other one was very generic, and it didn't look Toyota. It didn't look BMW either. It was just kind of its own thing. And they weren't heavy wheels. I think the old one had forged wheels too. But these are even lighter. So, yeah, this is, I don't know if they look great in my opinion, but they're not bad. The other thing that we're getting is another A91. It's going to be the manual transmission edition. So A91 MT edition, limited to 500 units. So before we saw this with the blue one, with the carbon fiber bits, the stripes on the side. For 2023, the A91 is going to be manual only with a matte white, or what they call see you later gray. And it's going to have this special, again, cognac leather interior, just like that 911 Sport Classic. So not everyone's cup of tea, though. This is, you know, the A91, the blue one, I think everyone kind of got the idea. But this one is like Supra Sport Classic. You know, it's gone with a manual, a brown leather interior that I know people are really split on. I love brown leather interiors, tan, brown, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Cognac. But I know some people think it looks dorky. It looks like an old person's car.
I like it a lot more than black, because like I hate a black interior car. Like, yeah. I used to love black interior cars when I was younger, but now I'm just like, it's just so dark.
Yeah, well, and one of the things with the Supra, which they didn't fix, unfortunately, is the door card is still bland as fuck. It's just black. And they, even if you get the A91 with the brown leather center console, steering wheel, stitching, seats, they still give you that same bland door. The A91 gets red strut braces. So this is kind of a mishmash, right? Like, You give it brown leather interior, and then you give it red strut braces and a red logo. So it's like, is this like a sporty model? Well, they all get red calipers, but is this a sporty model, or is it like a sport luxury kind of thing? Because the brown leather, you got to keep in mind, the Supra has not just the strut braces in the under the hood. It has a strut brace behind the seats too. And so if that one is turned red against a brown leather interior, I think that will look awful. But there's no pictures of it in the press release. Oh, well, it's silver.
It's just a silver bar.
Oh, okay. Well, then the silver works. So it's not really strut brace. It's just the hood.
You still get those amazing looking Walmart subwoofer covers.
Oh, yeah.
That will never change.
Yeah, they won't revise. The subwoofers sound terrible in this car. And I always turn down the bass.
The week that I had this, I just remembered that I didn't really use the audio system. I had the windows down. Yeah. But I couldn't drive fast with the windows down.
Because it buffets. And it didn't say in the press. Actually, we could probably see in the pictures if they fix the buffeting. The buffeting is actually an easy fix.
This little,
from the aftermarket. You just
like give little, it a little winglet.
Actually, it looks like there might be. Is there on the corner of the...
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Okay.
Like looking at the rear three quarter, there's nothing. It's still flat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
From the front three quarter, it looks like there's something, but the rear three quarter looks like there's nothing there.
So don't open your windows into 2023 still until you get the anti-buffeting kit.
I mean, it's fine until you are above 80.
60.
Really?
Yeah. 60. It's rough. Because 80, like, you could get by in the city. Like, you would never really have to exceed 80. But I was like, I can't even roll down the windows at city speeds.
Mm. Yeah. Well, get a buffeting kit. It's not that expensive. Yeah. They're cheaper now than they were before.
Yeah, there's fancy ones, there's cheap ones, but they all do the same thing. They all work. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Mercedes dropped information on the brand new C43 sedan. So the new C-Class with the, well, not a brand new engine. It's the same engine that was used in the CLA and a whole bunch of other Mercedes products. It's that 2-liter turbo. I mean, I've got to be honest. The last C43 I drove was the wagon. Then the C43 back then was that 3-liter turbocharged V6, and it sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this 2-liter doesn't sound bad, but it still sounds like a 4-cylinder. It's not that smooth V6, but this makes good power. 402 horsepower, 369 pound-feet of torque. I mean, it's less than the CLA 45, but it's still a good amount of power. And it uses a little bit of F1 tech, where the turbocharger is actually spun up by an electrical component. So it actually will give you a little bit more boost, and it's just quicker to react overall. 0-60 is 4.6 seconds, they claim, which is still slower than an M340. So if you're comparing that to that, unfortunately, it is still a little bit slower, but it's still going to be like the 4MATIC all-wheel drive. It's going to have a 9-speed dual clutch, wet dual clutch that's on it. So it should be pretty smooth.
Yeah, but it should be pretty fun. C43, it's kind of that sleeper AMG car, right? Like to be fair, all Mercedes look the same. But the C43 is kind of more low-key. And it's still fast, right? Because with the same with the M3 of the previous generation and the 340i, you could get the 340 in all-wheel drive. And that all-wheel drive, for the types of people that want these cars, that makes a big difference. I'm pretty sure the new C63 is going to be available with all-wheel drive, though. So that kind of defeats the purpose of the 43.
Yeah, well, the 63 is supposed to be the same C43 engine that M140, whatever it's called, I can't remember right now. It's that same 2-liter turbocharged engine, but with a hybrid component. So the same kind of hybrid tech that they are using for that AMG GT, that redonkulous like 800 horsepower version of the AMG GT, they're going to just kind of have that, but downsized for the C63.
You know what? I hate the steering wheel too. I drove one recently, I think an E-Class that has that two-tiered steering wheel. And I find the buttons really difficult to use.
They're absolutely horrendous to use.
And the volume is like a swipey thing.
Yeah.
And I don't like
it. Dual tiers. Like the previous Mercedes steering wheel, where it's just a single bar, was much better than this. This kind of dual tier layout, it's horrific.
It looks cool. They've kind of went for the styling more than function, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, the worst part is it's not just this dual tier. It's because it's canted backwards. When you're actually reaching for the top, it's hard to actually use them.
And it's gloss black. Like, it's just, it's kind of the worst of all worlds.
It's all the bad things. Yeah. The interior, I mean, it's kind of nice. It has that kind of S-Class feel because it has that new tablet thing essentially in the center. So it's kind of gone away from the older Mercedes.
In the S-Class, it's
okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
the other thing we hate is not just the steering wheel, but the wheels itself. Right? It's got...
Oh, yes.
It looks okay from afar, and then you look up close, and then it's like someone wedged a pool noodle in between the brakes and the wheel. And you have to see this up close. Google a picture of a 2023 C43 wheels and you will see what we mean. If you know the NK NT03s, right? So this wheel has a stiffening ring to reinforce it. This one has rings on the behind the spokes as well, but they don't do anything.
They are okay. I don't know about the C43 one. I got a chance to see an AMG GT 53 with a similar style wheel on a Mercedes product, obviously. And they're plastic. So they're just beauty rings, essentially. I really don't think they do anything. I don't think they would. They don't look like they help with cooling or really any of that kind of factor, but...
And it hides the glorious brakes that sit underneath, right? Like, if you're going to put nice six-pot brakes, whatever you're going to put on there, why hide it with this odd pool noodle-looking ring? And
Not so beauty ring.
Yeah, it's... The wheel actually looks okay. The wheel design itself. Very BMW, but it looks okay. But, no.
It looks good when it's rolling. You don't see it.
Yeah. Overall, I like the proportions of this new C-Class, but Mercedes kind of phoning it in these days with their styling, I feel.
Yeah.
It's got the laziest styling department.
It just looks like car.
It looks like the A-Class, it looks like the CLA, it looks like the E-Class.
I mean, with the AMG bits and pieces, it helps, but
then what about a C300 or whatever with the AMG bits and pieces added to it?
Yeah,
by way of an option,
it probably just wouldn't have like that rear slit on the rear bumper.
Yeah,
so won't have that kind of vent. The exhaust might look a little different. The front might be a little different, but I don't think it'll be different enough for non-owners to kind of differentiate. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if the C63 is going to get a proper wide body this time, because the previous gen, the W205 did not, whereas the 204 did.
Right.
The 204 was a proper C63. The 205, the sedan version, was just a narrow body, and thus making putting a fat tire on the back like really difficult. The runs a very high offset. Where it's a coupe, you can put a proper wheel on. So the coupe was the only real wide body of the previous gen. So yeah, we'll see how, if they invest money into the 63, because ultimately it's not that high volume of a car, even though it feels like every other C-Class is a 43 or 63 here in Richmond. But it's going to not be their volume seller, so they may not put that money towards it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I don't think they will. It doesn't really make sense as a company to really invest that much more money. They'd rather put that money into like the new GLC.
Yeah, but if the 63 is only getting like more hybridization with no wide body, I don't want it. Like, I'm not even interested in it. Yeah.
Okay. It's not for you anyways.
It's not. But look at BMW, right? Look at the M3 versus the G20 standard 3 series. Like, you will never mistake in the two, right? An M3 and a 340i, there is such a big gap between
them. Yeah.
Some people hate that nose, but it is two distinct cars. Whereas Mercedes just, you know what, we're going to do lazy styling and lazy equipment packages to elevate the price point.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we have Polestar. This is a very, very small update, but I think it's significant enough for us to kind of go over. So the Polestar, as you know, it's the off-brand of Volvo. It started off as the...
Don't call it Volvo. It's Volvo that looks like a Volvo, is made by Volvo, but they don't want to identify as a Volvo.
It's not a Volvo. Yeah. Polestar, I mean, initially, it started off, of course, as a performance division. And then it went kind of away from that to their electrification division. But then Volvo themselves have EVs now. So they have an electrification division, but they also have their own. Mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing.
Recharge Volvo, that really, if you park this next to like an XC40 Recharge, you see a lot of family resemblance.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Inside and out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But the Polestar 2, get some updates here. So what do we get? We essentially get new colors. Actually, some of them look quite good. This kind of sandy beige kind of color, champagne maybe. I actually really like it. It looks good. You get some new wheels, some new interior materials, and some new options as well. The biggest thing that is going to be like a huge factor for us here in Canada is a heat pump. It has been improved for the optimal temperature range, and this will help with real world driving range. So like, you should get better range with this new heat pump. And they're tracing their mica and cobalt battery materials from source to production to ensure ethical mining and manufacturing processes are employed, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily just the ethics, but you got to consider, you know, one of the biggest things about, you know, electric cars, one of the biggest controversies is, how is the battery being mined? What impact does that have on the environment? Not only that, you're manufacturing new cars and all of the plastics, the metals that go into it. All of this has, you know, a footprint to it. And so Polestar is like, you know, we're keeping an eye on this. Like, this is important to us as a company, as our philosophy. We want to make sure everything is ethical and try to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. You know, it's not just about selling electric cars. It has to make sense for the environment as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Polestar 2 is one of those EVs a lot of people are sleeping on.
Oh, absolutely. But the problem with it is, you can't even buy one.
It's the availability.
The availability is worse than Tesla. It's worse than Hyundai. It's worse than Ford. It's worse than, even worse than VW, you would say. And obviously,
I mean, I requested a press car in 2020, end of 2020. They had a 2021 press car. They lent it out to a few journalists, but it was cut off. The 2021 press cars are still on lot at the place that I pick up the cars. Mm-hmm. I talked to the person that runs it, and they're like, yeah, these are old cars, but they haven't retired them, but the new ones aren't coming yet. Because it's just,
and if you go to Polestar website, it says, due to high demand, we are currently closed for new orders. So they can't even fulfill their orders. They can't even take deposit. That's how backed up they are. And, you know, everyone's got the same story, right? VW, I've heard people say up to 3 years.
It's 3 years now.
ID4. Yeah. ID4, Tesla Model 3s are, 8 months?
Yeah.
Nowadays, for a standard range.
Ionic is minimum 1 year.
Yeah. So it's across the board. Mining is difficult and expensive. And I think with electric cars, because so much of it is not under the manufacturer's control, because, you know, who has their own farms to mine? I don't know how you mine batteries, but you plant them in the ground and water them, I think.
Yeah, and then double A's just pop out. Yeah,
something like that. But you know, you're at the mercy of suppliers, and you're at the mercy of inflation and all this stuff. And it's like, to not necessarily be profitable, but at least cover your costs, I think this segment is going to be hit really hard. It is being hit really hard. I think that's why, like, you know what, we can't even take orders right now. That's how bad it is. Yeah.
Well, the brand that I say people are sleeping on, apparently, you know, not that many people sleeping on it, considering that they
can't even take any. They're so back ordered that they can't take new orders. So it's a good and bad thing. You know, I think we're all going electric. It's inevitable. I have no problem with it. I know some people do. But in the meantime, it's like, what choice do you really have? You can either spend a huge premium and get, you know, a marked up electric car, or you can, you know, if you want a Model S Plaid, you can get one relatively quick, right? If you have 200K to spend. But it's not really... I feel like we had such a good trajectory of getting people into EVs, and then the shortages happened, and now we're like, everything is like, no one can even get cars anymore. Like, not alone EVs, but
not new cars. But if you want a used one, they're more or less available, but
you can't even buy a used Polestar. No one's got one.
Well, not a used Polestar, but you can definitely get a used Model 3. But
Model 3, plenty out there, but don't buy a used Model 3.
You can get a 2019 for $60,000.
Don't buy a 2019.
The guy paid $40,000 for it, and now he's selling it for $20,000 more.
Yeah, with no warranty. Don't buy a Tesla with no warranty and no option to buy an extended warranty on it, because you will lose a lot of money on your repair bills.
With Tesla. You definitely will.
And you have no one else to bring it back to. That is, if you want to spend $60,000 on a 2019, why don't you spend $75,000 on a 2022 long range? You know, just get the better model, and you have more car for the money, and you have a warranty with it, which is nice.
Oh, good
news.
And
a power trunk.
There is one Polestar 2 on Craigslist.
The launch edition or something.
Yeah, it's a launch edition.
And they're like, I talked to someone at Polestar, and I think they said that you could get one, but only if you want that full loan. Like, yeah.
Well, $80,000 if you want a Polestar. And I did a quick search with criteria for Polestars. I got a lot of V90s here, which is definitely not.
Yeah, the old Polestar. The Polestar used to mean like a sportier Volvo for a very brief period of time. After R and before Polestar EV.
Yeah.
Polestar meant. So it is extremely confusing.
Once upon a time, there was a Polestar engineered badge that you can get.
A little blue.
Little blue badge. I remember one of the press cards, they had it in the glove box. And I really, really, really wanted to pocket it, but I decided to.
Well, not. What would be the worst case scenario? You don't get to review a Polestar 2? Oh, wait.
I just don't want to be labeled as the guy that steals, but I was like, oh. Yeah.
Remember people used to steal shift knobs at the auto show?
Oh, all the time. That's why every single car dealer had no shift knobs, because people steal shift knobs.
Yeah, it's just like a trophy that people take home. And then some people are dumb enough to sell them. They're like, hey, I stole this at the auto show. And then they go to get a criminal record over it.
Let's move on here. We got Chevy. They actually tweeted that there's an electrified Corvette coming as early as next year and a fully electric version to follow. So essentially a hybrid version that's going to come out next year, and then a full EV version after that.
Yeah, but they released this teaser video.
This teaser video is in the snow of a C8 Corvette, and what's unique is it's a side shot, but of it, it's like a slow motion acceleration. But then your mind gets
Haldex in it.
Yeah, it's got a really crap
Haldex. The mid-engine Haldex.
It's mind-blowing because the front wheels start to spin first, and then the rears engage. And it's like, wait a minute. That's not right.
That's a Corvette.
that's kind of weird.
Yeah, but pretty cool. I mean, we're getting EV Corvettes, so no more or less videos of Corvettes plowing into crowds or spinning off the highway and stuff like that.
It's all-wheel drive. Like this electrified version, like what people online have kind of been suggesting it would be is think C8 Corvette, but instead of the current powertrain, it's going to have the twin turbo because the twin turbo is more efficient. And it's going to have an electric motor up front to power the front wheels, which makes sense according to this video because instantaneous torque, the front wheels spin. So that's why it looks like your typical Haldex unit, the front wheel spins and then power gets shifted onto the back. So yeah, it looks like, you know, an electrified version of the Corvette. You know, if it's able to run in full EV, this hybrid model anyways, it's going to be a front-wheel drive Corvette.
Yeah. Well, you could probably make it front-wheel drive, yeah. If you run out of gas, it becomes front-wheel drive. No, the C8 Corvette is... I feel bad for the C8 Corvette because it is such a big deal. That they went mid-engine and they did the Z06 and all this stuff. And unfortunately for this car, supply issues really overshadowed what the Corvette meant. Because we were all so excited, right? Like, you can get a mid-engine Corvette, 70K, and it's a freaking supercar, right? Yeah. I didn't want the base model Corvette. Like, after I was waiting for the Z06. I wanted that wide body. But if you could get the wide body at the C7 prices at starting at like 90, what a steal. But unfortunately for us, supply shortage, Corvette was one of the first to really, really, really get inflated because from day one, these were asking, you know, 30, 40K over MSRP on an $80,000 car. Right, like 50% over MSRP, and the Z06s look like it's going to be the same thing. The ZR1, I don't think we know any details of it yet, but it will be the same thing. It'll be a $300,000-$400,000 car once all is said and done. And so, unfortunately for the Corvette, it's no longer that, you know, sweetheart, the attainable supercar that we could all get. You know, it's 911 money. There's no way around it. It's 911.
Once again, I'm on Craigslist because that's where you generally would go in Vancouver here. 2022 Corvette C8 3LT, so fully loaded.
Top of the line, yeah.
160,000.
160, and that car probably has MSRP of about 90. 90 to 100.
2021 3LT Z51 package, 170.
Yep.
Oh, there's a 1LT.
1LT should be like 80K MSRP.
125.
Exactly. So that is the problem with the Corvette. I mean, is
even
it's still cheap, right? It's still cheaper than a Ferrari, right? And it's still more reliable and better built than a Ferrari.
Here's the thing, though. Like, there's, I think just all pricing right now is just dumb, right? Because there's a dealership selling a C7 for 114. It is a Z06, a 2019 Z06, but it's 114. There's a guy trying to sell a ZR1 for 115, a 2011, a C6. Is that C6? No, C7. No, that's a C6. ZR1 for 115. I mean, it's just dumb all over.
Damn.
You should have kept your Corvette. That's really what the prices are saying.
Let me see what that would be worth. So 2019.
Was it a Grand Sport? One,
it's a Grand Sport, but it was a base. No heated seats even. 1LT.
Mm.
So there's I mean.
There's a Grand Sport right now for 95.
Yeah. You know how much that Grand Sport was brand new with dealer incentives? Like this was back in
70?
1970. 72, roughly. But it was like a lot of car for your money. Now it's like, now it's appropriate car for your money, right? Like, that's the thing. Difference. It's like, it used to be like, you know, 70K, that's the price of a decently loaded 3 Series, right? And you could have 500 horsepower wide body transaxle 7-speed manual Corvette, right? Classic like that, car. That's pretty special car. Like it feels like a pretty special car when you drive it. But yeah, nowadays it's even those are 90 to 100. So yeah.
Yeah. I remember looking like maybe 5-6 years ago, C5 Corvettes, like C5 Z06 Corvettes mm-hmm. were like 20K. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty good price. And I remember, you know, driving the Z06 C5 in like a whole bunch of games, and it's a good car.
Yeah.
Now it's like 40,000.
Yeah. Now you can, well, yeah, 40 is still reasonable, but like, well, C5, no, not for a
C5. C5? No.
C6, maybe.
C6, maybe, but like a 40 is like base C6 pricing, like convertible or Targa C6 pricing.
Yeah.
These days. Yeah.
No, it's stupid. But no, C8 was one of those that even the first car that hit the showroom was already, you know, that first batch was already like 50 to 100% over MSRP. Definitely. And this is before all of this craziness. This is like over a year and a half ago, when we were kind of at a low mm-hmm. with the market, the Corvettes were still at the peak and they're still up there. So I think this gen Corvette really got overshadowed, because what happens when this kind of stuff happens is you just don't get that enthusiasm, right? Like, because the car is double MSRP, you just don't get the aftermarket support. You don't get as many people tracking them, because Corvette is, I've seen a few C8 Corvettes on the track, but you know, it's meant to be that, you know, affordable an attainable supercar level performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think pricing is killing a lot of things right now.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are trying to like even like, you know, on a very similar kind of pattern but a different scale, the Bronco, for example. Like, I haven't really seen the people taking out the new Broncos as much as I thought they would. To have fun with them, because they're 80 $90,000 on the used market because you can't get one new. Like it's this whole pricing thing that's going on right now with the chip shortage, it's making things a lot difficult for everyone. I mean, even the Equinox that I currently have this week, it has a heated seat button but doesn't have heated seats.
Oh no.
Because of chip shortage. But what's good with GM is if you do pick up one of these cars, which is actually available, they are retrofitting the heated seats after. So they're going to contact every single person that has purchased a car with features that isn't installed and will install it. Some manufacturers aren't doing that. Some manufacturers right now are just in replace of this, they're giving you something else. Because like I remember
a keychain or a water bottle.
not that bad. I was talking to Volvo. Some of the cars may not have like the kick to open tailgate, and they can't get that installed for you later because they don't have a system for that. So they're giving you like the rubber floor mats inside the entire vehicle instead. Like, you know, what matters to you, right? Kick to open rear gate, all weather floor mats. But yeah, every manufacturer is a little different in how they're kind of, you know, tackling that right now. But at least some manufacturers are doing the right thing. But I think that's really it for this week. Anything else you want to go over?
No, I think we're good on time.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for hearing us rant this week a little bit, and we'll be back next week to go over some more automotive news. Take care, everyone.